B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hour. Mike Missinelli Show, General Knowledge Wednesday. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpolis Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays every bit as go. Still talking Sixers. Phil's being played. We'll talk to Jason Stark today, 4 o'clock. And Bryce Harper. You just heard Matt Klentak on the Nally Sports Update. Kind of making excuses. Well, he's still doing this. On base percentage is still good. Leads the team in doubles. He's paid to hit, and he's paid to make an impact with his bat. And right now, there's something wrong. He's not tracking the ball, and he's late. I had some numbers here. Now, the kid last night was throwing heat. He's a good pitcher, that kid from Milwaukee. What was his name? Who pitched last night? Brandon, what's his name?
I forget.
Whitmore? Something like that?
Yeah.
Well,
something like that.
Let me give the kid credit. Let me find his name. But anyway, here's his stat. His stats like against high velocity pitchers, Brandon Woodruff. His stats against high velocity pitchers are not good. He's swinging and missing a lot. Fastballs, a high speed fastball should not give great hitters problems. And they're giving Bryce Harper problems. Here's one stat. Like I know 97 and above, not many guys throw. The kid got there last night from Milwaukee. Bryce Harper, 97 plus mile per hour, has seen 68 pitches this year. He swung and missed 36 times. Oh, excuse me, 36 swings, 16 whiffs, and 16 foul balls. He's only put 4 balls in play off 97 plus. So when your foul ball's off and you're whiffing, it means your bat's slow. Now, a lot of guys bat slow against 97, but a great hitter's bat shouldn't be slow against 97 or 96 or 95 because he's having problems with that velocity also. Got change.
So you're saying he needs a day off?
He needs 2 days off. You can just tell his demeanor. His demeanor. Now, you get confused as a hitter. And you start squeak like when you swing and miss in that third strike with ball in the dirt, you're totally clueless at that particular time. There's no way that should happen to Bryce Harper.
How's like he able to walk?
His timing is so off swinging the bat. Well, he's able to walk because they're pitching around him. It's easy to determine whether a pitch is going to be a strike or not. They're not giving him a lot of strikes. Obviously, they're still pitching him carefully. But when they're giving him pitches at the hit, he's missing them. And then on a pitch like that, a breaking ball, it was in the dirt where he starts to swing so early, that means he's officially confused and he's not tracking the ball. So that's got to change. All right, Larry in Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Larry.
How are you doing, Mike?
What's going on, Larry?
Okay, first with Embiid. He ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so get a conditioning program and he should be fine. Max Kellerman, his thing, I believe, a couple weeks ago, oh, we got to trade Ben Simmons. Now his kick is, we got to trade Embiid.
Who cares what Max Kellerman says?
I know.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know.
You give me Max Kellerman?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's a joke.
Yeah, okay.
Anyhow, okay. Ben Simmons is going to play in the upcoming, I think, FIBA for Australia.
Yes, okay. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. He said he was going to expand his game. So this will give him a chance to expand his game. Work on
it. It will. He's going to have to shoot the ball in the FIBA World Cup, isn't he?
Yeah.
Now, Tyrone, you have a different spin on that. The teams are weaker, so he's going to be less inclined to shoot because he can get the basket against anybody in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. I think he's going to take more chances and shoot the ball, not try to get the ball in the basket all the time.
No. Okay, now with Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, Harper would say, but you look at some of the pitches with the pitch track. Harper, a pitcher right there, he can't see. He lets it go. He should be swinging at that. And then the pitcher's in the away. He's swinging. He's pulling his head. He's not tracking the ball.
Yeah, he's confused. He's not tracking the ball.
He needs 2 days off. Put Nick Williams in there. Since Williams is a left-hander, and have Harper just watch and pay attention.
I agree.
Because
I totally agree.
The pitcher is going to pitch basically the same way to Williams, since he's a left-hander, to Harper.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's going to pitch as carefully to Nick Williams.
No, he's not going to be carefully, but he's going to, since Williams is the
left-hander.
Nick
Williams is a big single, the second hit of the game last night for Nick Williams. All right, do you want a general knowledge question, bro?
Sure.
All right, it's a general knowledge category. What does the S stand for in NASA?
Space.
That is correct. Nicely done. Now, what do the other letters stand for in NASA?
National Aeronautics Space Association.
Look at you.
I wanted to be an astronaut when I was
little. You did?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, there was a lot of math involved.
Changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
You know, more and more.
Space, I go.
Sally Ride, your hero?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I was super into it. Super into it.
Yeah, I said something pretty after the Challenger. I said something pretty insensitive because I didn't know how space shuttles worked at the time when the teacher went up there.
Oh, that was awful. Class?
Yeah. I thought space shuttles were like the TV show Voltron, the cartoon,
where
each person had a job. And I just assumed that, like, a teacher wouldn't know how to be an astronaut.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the teacher corrected me on how space shuttles work, how, like, everybody doesn't have an individual job on takeoff. Because I thought they did when I was in kindergarten when it happened.
Troublemaking kid?
No, not at all. But
Yes, and
teachers hated that.
Yeah.
Like, they hated that I thought that we should celebrate the end of the Revolutionary War, not July 4th when we signed the Declaration of Independence, because the work still had to be done of the war. Teacher hated that. How dare you say that? Like, well, what? You had to fight the war. Celebrate when the war's over.
It's very rational.
As a kid, I thought that was critical thinking. No. I was hollered at. Don't shut up over there. It was bad. Like, goodness. Reasonable points.
Go to David in Pottstown. David, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. David.
So I think this season was absolutely a success, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, David, do me a favor. Take me off speaker.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, I got it.
All right, I'm good now.
Okay.
So can any of us really say that we thought this year would be the year we would win the championship?
No,
it's next year, right? So my definition of success is what could we have done to set us up for next year?
Well,
and to me,
play
and
for the championship, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I expected.
Well, I think that's a natural tendency to think that's the next step. But for me, I think this loss and the way we lost, it will be the catalyst for what gives us the resolve to win next year. I think, you know, us getting Jimmy Butler was by far the best move we could have made this year. And he's now, in my mind, I value him over Simmons. I value Embiid and Butler over Simmons.
But you gotta keep Butler now.
Of course, yes.
That's not a certainty.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
So you're in the stepping stone. It's the Tyrone theory. The stepping stone theory.
What sets us up for success in the future? And I think this loss.
The rise from these kind of ashes is what you're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Actually, I mean, you saw how Embiid was impacted by it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the crying. I like seeing that. Showed he cares.
Yeah, but I could have put up with crying after Milwaukee series too.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So like,
I think if we face Milwaukee, we would probably lose 4-2 or something like that. I don't think we win that.
All right, but still, that would have been a success. Getting to that next level would have been more success than not getting to that level.
The question is, was this season a success?
To me, it was a semi-success.
Semi-success.
Yes, I can't say it's a success if you get to the same plateau you got to last year.
If in 2 weeks we sign Butler long-term, would that change it?
No.
No? Okay.
No, because you're looking at the intangibles of the growth period. I'm looking at the result.
Yeah, I think if we look back, if we sign Butler and we win a championship next year, I think he'll be the reason why. I think it'd be
We'll see if they sign him. Here's your general knowledge question. U.S. states by Wikipedia descriptions.
All right.
Widely known as the center of the U.S. automotive industry.
Michigan.
Correct. Michigan is correct. Very easy. Wikipedia description. Michigan. All right, so let me go to these emails, because this is the variance I'm getting on emails. Brian emails. I think the Sixers season was a regression. If you think about if they accomplished what they did last year with Covington and Dario, this year they had a whole new lineup with talented starters and still couldn't make it out of the second round. How is that not regression? Now, Daniel says, of course the Sixers were successful. Number one, last year's team had no one and got blown out of the second round by Boston in five games. This year we had far better players and we lost on a four-bounce game winner in game seven. Two, yes, youth is still something you need to grow out of. However, they took a large step forward. That's why it was a successful season. All right, two varied opinions. One not, one yes. And I go right in the middle. Semi. Let's go, Steve, in North Philly. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Steve?
Good. I just want to comment on you and Tyrone's take on whether it's a successful season. I kind of agree with both of you, though, but I'm leaning towards Tyrone, meaning it's definitely a growth period. I mean, he thinks that, okay, after this experience in the playoffs, that they should be able to grow and get further from that. And I agree, because this was a good experience for him. And the whole youth factor, after this year, the whole youth excuse shouldn't be an excuse. But from what you were saying, well, you know, there's other contributing factors. So I don't think, even if they do play better next season, meaning Joel and Ben, I don't think it's a guarantee that they make it to the finals or Eastern Conference Finals, because there's other factors. Like, you know, are they going to have a better bench? Are they going to sign Jimmy Butler? So
let me ask you about this growth thing, right? Because there's this presumption that growth, this loss was needed for growth. Like, growth was going to be there no matter what. If they had beat Toronto, we're still going to say the same thing about Embiid. There had to be growth in his conditioning and his diet, right? Like, why do we need the loss to make that evident to people?
No, I'm not saying we needed the loss, but it happened. That's what happened. And in other words, you can take good from the loss. I'm not saying
I get it, but you could have taken the same good if they had lost the next series, the Milwaukee, and still been satisfied they got to Milwaukee.
That's true. I get it. Wait, real quick. I got one
question. All right, go ahead.
It's a Godfather question. Now, they've been showing the Godfather a lot on a weekend.
Yeah.
When Michael and McCluskey and Salozzo are in a restaurant speaking Italian, what is that conversation about?
The conversation is about the father. You can actually Google that and get the entire interpretation of that conversation. But Salozzo's trying to apologize for what he did to shooting his father. But he said his father has antique ideas and he has to move along with the 20s, you know, what we're trying to do here. Times are changing.
Okay, all right. Okay, that's all I wanted to
know. Yeah. All right, man. You want to play General Knowledge?
Yeah, good.
All right, the movie multiple choice. All right, so we're in movies. What was the first movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Was it A, Batman, B, Iron Man, C, Spider-Man, D, The Avengers?
Spider-Man.
No, incorrect. It was Iron Man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know that either. Ty would know that.
Yes.
Zion, did you know it was Iron Man?
Yeah.
Did?
Yeah.
No, I would have guessed Batman.
Nah.
But say it's the first one?
Batman's not even Marvel.
No, he's not.
Oh, Batman's not Marvel?
It's DC.
I'm sorry.
So that one you could eliminate, and then you got...
So what an idiot I am as it comes to superhero comics.
And you know it's not Avengers, because Iron Man came before Avengers, so you kicked that one out, so now you're guessing between two.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. There's one open line, 610-620-975. Rick in Millville. Rick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Rick.
I kind of agree with you. I'm in an impasse. I'm in the middle here. I think if we sign Toby and Butler back, then it would be a success because of the maturity factor. It's another year under Embiid and Simmons' belt. But if we lose both of those guys, or especially Butler, I should say, then it's a total failure because we lost Dario, we lost Rocco, you know, and now we lose Robert Covington and Dario Saric.
Yeah, what about them?
I would consider it a failure if we don't sign Butler and Tobias Harris back, because essentially we're just losing both of those guys, and you know, Ian, we're a lot less of a team than we were even last year.
Yeah, but you can replace. See. Is Dario and Covington that much of a loss? Like, even if you lose Butler, you can still sign a better free agent than either of those guys.
No, I totally understand. I agree with what you were saying on being on hold, listening to, you know, a lot of other people's opinions on it. I understand what you're saying, but...
About that, where you're listening to. Okay. I was listening to another station. They were saying, so what? So I have the interpretation here. Salazzo, I'm sorry. Michael, forget about it. Salazzo, what happened to your father was business. It's the only word you can understand, right? I have much respect for your father, but your father, his thinking is old-fashioned. Benzi antique. Tyrone, you must understand why I had to do that. Michael, I understand those things. And then the waiter brings the veal and the wine. And then Salazzo says, now let's work through where we go from here. And Michael's trying to say, come a sedice, and then he goes in the back and speaking English. What's most important to me is that my father no longer be harmed. And then he goes to the bathroom and comes back, and Salazzo says, everything all right? I respect myself, understand, and cannot allow another man to hold me back. What happened was unavoidable. I had the unspoken support of the other family dons. If your father were in better health, without his eldest son running things, no disrespect intended, we wouldn't have this nonsense. We will stop fighting until your father is well and then can resume bargaining. No vengeance will be taken. We will then have peace, but your family should interfere no longer.
So you're going to mean to tell me we're going to sit at this table after you shot up my father and you're going to first insult him? They ain't going to tell me not to do anything about it. See, if I'm Michael, I shoot him too. Even if I didn't plan on shooting him, now because of what you said, I'm going to shoot you. You have no choice.
Todo respeto ante tu padre. But tu padre, Benza Antique.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Right there. I'd have been all like I go to the bathroom.
Love you. Justin in Mayfair. Justin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Justin?
Yeah, it's going good, man. Enjoying your show.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir. But I called about the Sixers, mm-hmm. You know, whether it was a success or a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was a total success this season. Maybe obviously the end goal was to win a championship, but I watched a bunch of guys last year down the road into the playoffs that the second they dealt with adversity, they didn't even believe they could win a championship.
That's a good point you're making here, because they did come back from adversity. They did fight to get to a game seven.
Yeah.
And that's how you define success, and that's fair. But yeah, well, the bottom line is they didn't get past where they got past last year.
Right. No, absolutely. It ended in a different fashion.
So what kind of success is that? You know,
it's growth. It's growth.
There's a difference between brass and platinum. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Brass looks shiny. Platinum is shiny.
You tell me another team in the East that's platinum.
Well, Milwaukee's platinum.
Oh, Milwaukee's platinum after one.
They're playing for the Eastern Conference Championship, aren't they? Toronto is. They're playing for the Eastern Conference Championship, aren't they? The Sixers' shine isn't as bright as those two teams.
I can somewhat relate to what you're saying, but look at Boston.
I'm just interested in how you determine success. You determine success by a different standard than I'm determining it. They got to the same place they did last year. There was just a better shine on it.
Right, but at the same time, I mean, then that would mean that you're essentially one team successful each year. Everyone else failed.
Not really. If the Sixers had gotten to the Eastern Conference Finals, that would have defined success for me. That's a step beyond where they went last year.
That was my outlook all season long, and especially after the two trades. But you look at the successes within the failure, then let's call it.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So you're looking for successes within the failure, and that's good enough. And that's fine. That's fair. All right. Here's your general knowledge question.
All right.
Foreign NBA players quiz, ranked by scoring. We already went number one is Dirk Nowitzki. Number two is Hakeem Olajuwon. Number three, native country is Jamaica. This was a center. A center who played. All right, you're out. I was going to give him one more hint. A center who played in the Big East. In the heyday of the Big East, Patrick Ewing, Number three on the list. Yes, he came from Jamaica, spent his formidable years here, but was a native of Jamaica when he came here and landed up in the Boston area.
Now the head coach of Georgetown.
There you go. Number three on the list. This is a great quiz. That's what I was giving to Anthony as I was coming in during the breaks.
It's a great quiz.
610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We'll talk to Jason Stark at 4 o'clock. Hang in there. We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philadelphia. I'm laughing at this email I just got from a guy. He goes, all right, and we can reflect back on the season. My analysis, Sixers problems, the late game, have no clear person, and no poor and poor offense is exactly why they lost versus Toronto. I told you so. Even big wins during the season were fortunate bounces and versus Toronto Game 7. It caught up with them. I'm 2 out of 2 over the years with you. Looking back, we argued about Vucevic when he was traded. I was mad about it. What? Vucevic? Are you serious? We're talking about Nick Vucevic now? We had Joel Embiid in the program, and we're worried about Nick Vucevic? This is the kind of stuff I get that make me laugh.
Yeah, you know, Orlando had a hell of a playoff run.
Seriously, come on.
They lost in 5 in the first round.
He's been a nice player for Orlando. We don't rue the day that we got rid of Nick Vucevic, do we?
No, and he's not going to get paid this offseason either. He's a free agent. Well, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up as the Sixers backup.
I haven't given him one thought since he's left. We got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I got to think about Nick Vucevic. All right, it's time for the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Yes, Mike. It's time for the Twitter poll update.
It is time for the Twitter poll update, Nat.
It is.
Yes, it's the half hour.
And you know what? It has...
So you're wearing... I think you harken back to that astronaut thing. I think you're consumed a little bit now. They're lamenting that you didn't become an astronaut.
I am. You know, it explains it because I can be very spacey.
It's like Kramer.
Yes.
Like he desired to be a banker.
Yeah.
And I think it's caught up with you.
It has. I'm having dreams of going to Mars.
All right. So anyway, what is our Twitter poll update?
So we have 1,600 votes on this one. Was the 2018-2019 Sixer season a success? 51% say yes. 49% say no. So neck and neck on the poll.
All righty. You got Philly's lineup is out tonight, which is very interesting because they've got two backups in the lineup. And not one of them is for Bryce Harper. Tonight's lineup, Cutchin, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Hernandez, Sean Rodriguez is playing tonight at third base, and Phil Gosselin is playing left field, stacking it with right-handers against the left-hander Gio Gonzalez. Not faith in your boy Nick. You have Phil Gosselin out there.
You know, the more Bryce Harper struggles, the more I'm reminded that Nick Williams, if he was the everyday right fielder, would have had a good year. So, you know, I hope everybody's happy they got Harper. It's my guy Nick Williams.
Gabe is definitely afraid to bench him. And, you know, after last night, to me, he needed a day off. If there's ever going to be a night where you give him a day off, it's tonight. It's a left-hander. Let him look at something.
I think he's going to play all
far.
I think he's playing 162.
Well, all right. Well, then I got stats that would prove that he's late.
Well, let's see if he's late today.
Okay. He's not. He can't be late on Gio Gonzalez because he didn't throw it at Hardy.
But they're going to go to the bullpen.
All right, we'll see. Mark and Hazleton. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hi, first caller. I'm wondering, do you think that there's a variation of success or failure?
Yes. I have variation. I have semi-success. That's a variation, right?
Because we got the ultimate champion is the pinnacle of success.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks I'm going to say, are probably the ultimate of failure this season. Now, as far as I'm concerned, if the Sixers beat the Nets, who I believe that they consider themselves a success this season, so we have a successful season, in my mind.
Because they beat the Nets?
If they believe that they have a successful season, then we should believe that we have.
Well, not really. I mean, you can have your opinion aside from what the team is always going to think their success. But it's the fan base that decides whether it's a real success. I mean, you can make up your own mind on whether it's a success or not. What do you think, personally?
I think it's a success. But because, first of all, I think that having Fred Brown return is a success. Because if he didn't return, we'd be actually a failure. And then we'd blow the team apart.
Maybe not. They could get another coach in here and still sign the same players.
It's possible.
All right. So they didn't get really a step beyond where they got last year, except for a couple of games in a second series. But you think it's a success?
Yeah, and I also think that you were the one that said that if the Raptors won on the last second field goal.
Yeah, I said the coach should be back. I didn't say that it would be a success if they lost on the last second field goal.
But don't you think it's a success if the coach is coming back?
No.
No?
No. Okay. No, so I think it's the right thing to do. I don't think it defines success for the franchise. I thought it was the right thing to do to bring him back. But I don't think it defines success.
Sorry, but you don't think that this was a successful season?
I think it was a semi-successful season. It's a B-minus success as opposed to an A success. Because the bottom line is they didn't get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, if they had done that, it would have been a success. And I know the margin is very slim on how they didn't get there, but it didn't get there nonetheless. So I can't say, well, I'm really excited for this great successful season. I can't say that because they went to the same plateau as they did last year.
You know, you also are a man that usually respects Vegas. But with your analysis, you completely disrespect Vegas.
Because Toronto was the favorite?
Big versus the Sixers were favorite last year in the second round. Had home court, lost. This, fast forward, they don't have home court. They're big underdogs. They get to a game seven, you dismiss it all the way.
Because I see with my own eyes what they were.
They weren't as good as the Raptors. That's why they were underdogs.
All right. Well, then it's not a success. Because they were built to be better than the Raptors.
They weren't.
All right. Let's go, Patrick, in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Patrick.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Pat?
Hey, I think it is a failure because back around the trade deadline, Elton Brand went to that game against the Raptors, and he decided they needed to upgrade in talent, and they went and got Tobias Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto got Marc Gasol, and Marc Gasol was more effective than Tobias in that series. I think much more effective because he was defending Embiid. So I think it is a failure because Elton Brand, I believe, said on this radio station that the expectations were to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think they should have won that series. So to me, it's a failure.
Okay. I mean, listen, I can't disagree with your assessment because it's your assessment. I'm right in between. Like, I don't think it was an overwhelming success, but I think it was a mild success because they did get beat on the last second shot. So I can't say it was a failure.
I see it as a baby step at best, but mm-hmm. I want to talk about, so the Pelicans won the lottery,
mm-hmm.
and I believe Anthony Davis's agent tweeted right out that they still want to be traded.
Yeah.
So if they called, the Pelicans called Elton Brand and said they wanted Ben Simmons and we can get Anthony Davis in here to get next to Embiid.
That
and maybe
would,
go
that
after
probably
a guy
would.
Like Kyrie Irving or Butler.
I'm not so sure Anthony Davis could coexist with Embiid. But would I trade Ben Simmons for Anthony Davis, I would think about it really hard. I really would.
Because I just feel like the Ben Simmons and Embiid, they're on two different timetables. I think Embiid is more ready now, and Ben's not going to be ready in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're both going to have to peak at the same time to win. And I'm afraid Ben's going to peak too late, and it's going to mess this process thing up.
Well, listen, this is really weird because David Griffin is now the general manager. I'll expand on this in a minute. I want to give you your general knowledge question. This is a general knowledge category. What is the largest artery in the human body?
I don't know, Mike. Yeah, it's the wrong guy.
Largest artery in the human body. You should get this. All right. Well, the largest artery leads to the most important organ of your body. And that would be the aorta is the largest artery in the human body. Fueling the heart. All right, so David Griffin, who was the general manager in Cleveland, who dealt with LeBron and clutch management, which represents LeBron and Anthony Davis. Is that a smoother way to get Anthony Davis to actually want to be in New Orleans?
I don't think so.
No?
Because I don't think it was just the GM. I think the owner hasn't changed. I don't think he rocks with that owner.
All right. So somebody gave me a three-way deal. Let me see if I can get this up here and see if you like it. It involves Los Angeles Lakers as well. Damn, let me see if I can find it. I can't find it. I will find it, and when we come back from our break, we'll talk about it. 610-622-0975. Mike Masnelli Show. Back to your calls after this on General Knowledge Wednesday on 975 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Masnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We'll talk baseball with Jason Stark at 4 o'clock. Meanwhile, we'll talk about the Sixers, where they go from here. Was the season a success in your mind? Why or why not? Draft lottery happened yesterday. Sixers didn't get any advantage. And Knicks got the third pick. The Pelicans get the first pick in the draft. And Zion Williamson's not happy about it. So who can the Sixers get? Tyron, let me throw a name at you because this guy might be there when the Sixers pick at 24. And you know I was high on this kid from early in the season. And you saw him on display against Villanova. Carson Edwards, explosive scorer from Purdue. He's Fred VanVleet with offense.
He can't defend like him, though. Van Fleet's a really, really good defender. Okay. I don't think he can guard anybody.
So you don't like Carson Edwards, and if it came to Ty Jerome or Carson Edwards, they're both on the board, you're taking Ty Jerome.
I am. Mm-hmm. But
wow, that's shocking. You're taking a Virginia player.
Yeah, because I think he may be able to defend at this level because of his length. I don't think Edwards will ever be able to defend, ever, in the NBA, but...
Could be Kemba, though.
No, I don't think he can be Kemba. I don't think the pick and roll, I don't think... And Kemba doesn't win. But I wouldn't be mad if they took him because he does shoot. And shooting translates. He can really shoot.
He can score.
He can really, really, really shoot.
Quick enough to score. He can shoot. He can shoot off the move. Which he's going to have to do in the NBA.
I've seen some mocks with the Warriors getting him.
Yeah?
Yeah, like late in the first round.
He's a game changer. You can put him in and change the game.
You can. I wouldn't be against the pick, but I think Ty Jerome actually could play in this league longer and do more things.
Okay. Let's go Phil on a sell. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Phil?
Nothing much. How are you today, sir?
Good.
Excellent. Just want to touch base quickly about the Sixers. Had a couple points. First off, as far as success or failure for this season goes, I'd have to call it failure. You know, I like the idea of a couple callers ago when you said there's kind of successes within the failure, but ultimately we had a better roster this year, I think, than last year. We got a little further in the second round, but ultimately I think they built that team at least to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the expectation when they made all the moves. And even though Toronto was favored in the series, it's hard to ignore that part of it.
Yeah, and when you look at all the smoke around what just happened the past few days with Brett Brown here going, you know, you could tell that that was a decision that was made to keep him kind of based on, I think, what the players had kind of said, and who knows what was going on in the meeting. But kind of on that same note, with Ben Simmons and with the, I guess, overall exit interviews, of what I heard, it kind of sounds a little scary. Sounds like next year maybe more of the same, just with a different roster. But I do, with Ben Simmons, if he's not shooting a jumper by the deadline next season, I think that's the time to trade him. He'd be at his most valuable, and at that point, you got to say, I just don't see the guy changing at that point, and you got to kind of maximize it and kind of move forward, depending on...
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. If he can't shoot it, you're not maximizing him. Because you're trading a flawed player at that point. So why would you think his value would be so high after you've seen the failed attempt at shooting?
Well, he hasn't failed, but if he's not shooting, he still has that potential that we're all hoping on, and maybe another team will still be banking on that potential.
Yeah, the other team would probably see the same thing that we saw. I don't know how much in demand he'd be.
It's true, but at the same time, if that's your point, then why do we want to hold on to him so tightly, you know, at that point?
Well, what I'm saying is I don't think that kind of a deal would be feasible. I think more of an off-season deal would be feasible now than a trading deadline deal when people can see that he still has the same flaw.
I agree. And believe me, I hate the idea of switching up the roster, especially that late with such a, you know, mm-hmm. big, dynamic player on our team. But I just think if not by the end of next season, if he's not shooting, then I think it's time to really look at him and say we might have...
Yeah, well, I agree with that. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question. This is U.S. states by Wikipedia descriptions.
Okay.
All right, so... let's go with this one. The Chesapeake Bay nearly bisects the state.
Maryland.
That's correct. Maryland is the correct answer. All right, let's get Bubba from Dallas. Bubba, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing, man? First-time caller.
What's up? How you doing, Bubba?
Doing well. First off, earlier in the midday show, there was a guy that called about his girl that hooked him up with some Wrigley tickets after he was sad about the Sixers. I've been a diehard Philadelphia fan since I was 12, took Brian Westbrook in my first fantasy draft ever, and my girlfriend, now fiance, I proposed to her last night. She said yes.
And you're a Dallas native?
Yes, born and raised.
Oh, my
Absolutely.
God. And you're a Philadelphia sports fan?
Yeah.
You're a rare breed.
Oh, I know. It's a hellhole out here, trying to get out as fast as possible. But my girlfriend, now fiance, she bought me a ticket, bought me a weekend in Philadelphia. So at the end of July, I'm coming to Philly for the first time ever. So just wanted to give a shout-out to her, because that guy earlier gave a shout-out to
her. Oh, that's nice. You'll like it. You'll like this.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. So concerning the Sixers, I think it all based on what your definition of success is. You know, when you start a job, you come in, part of my job is I'm a coach and I hire other coaches. And so I tell them, you know, at the beginning of the interview, this is what I would consider a successful season for you. So coming in, yes, I think it was a success beginning of the season. I thought that getting out in the seventh game on a shot like that was successful. Now, when we got Toby, when we got buckets, that's when my expectations changed and I expected Eastern Conference Finals. So I would be more on the line with you. And concerning the guy that was just talking about the Ben Simmons trade, question for you, how would you feel? Let's say Ben Simmons is not shooting by next trade deadline. Instead of trading him, I know you believe he is a point guard at heart, and yes, because of his passing ability and all that. Why can't we move him and find another point guard? Move him as into a different position.
Yeah, but if he can't shoot, what good is he at another position?
I mean, move him to a four.
At any position, you're still going to have to shoot it, right?
Right, I understand that. But a position that is, I mean, if that's...
No, I think he's, but then you're denying what he does best. If you make him a four, you're denying what he does best, which is go end-to-end with the basketball and transition.
I see your point. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I can't. The position change is not in my realm. Either you ride with the guy or you don't. I think his best position, and I agree with Brett Brown, is the one. I don't see what I get out of him by taking him off the ball. You saw, what you got out of when you took him off the ball. As soon as they gave him back the ball, game six happened.
You're absolutely right. And if you take him off the ball, how do he and Embiid coexist? If especially this fan base who wants Embiid in the post every possession, how could he ever be in the post if Ben doesn't have the ball?
I don't understand why people think he would be more successful at a different position. Because he wouldn't. You're denying his best attribute by moving him from to a different position.
Yeah. Now today's the start of the combine. Mm-hmm. NBA with the measurements. Taco Fall.
7'7"
He just broke everything.
Oh, he did? What?
Yeah, he broke. This is all. Every number I'm about to read has never happened before. So he was 7'5 1/4" without shoes. 7'7" in shoes. 289 pounds. 8'2 1/4" wingspan. He has a 10'2.5" standing reach. And he only had, again, at 289 pounds, 6.8% body fat. Every single number, he just destroyed anything the NBA has ever seen, numbers-wise, at the combine. And apparently people are all excited about
it. Wait, what was 10 foot?
His standing reach. If he stands and reaches
straight, holds both
he
of his...
just that alone, 10'2". That means he's above the rim, just standing. And the wingspan is 8'2 1/4". That's never been seen before physically.
Huge.
So now there's people thinking on defense, in a late game situation, if you put him in the game, it changes the whole game.
He just has to stand there.
So that, let me ask you, with one of those second round picks, if he's there, do you take Taco Fall?
It's like Manu Bol, though. It's like you're not gonna, like, well, all you get is he can't get up and down the floor.
6.8 body fat. He looked really good, apparently.
You know, I get this mock draft here. They don't even have him drafted.
So I'm asking you, in the second round, that 50-something pick. So you're late in the second round.
I guess. I don't know. But he can't move up and down the NBA floor. Like, what are you going to use him for? Like, it's not a half-court league anymore.
He's a novelty off the end of the bench, but you use him in certain opportunities, certain times. You don't give him 10 minutes
so
like they gave Boban.
A special team player.
Yeah, but... I tell you what are you going to have at the end of the bench? A guy you know, like Korkmaz, who you know you're not going to play, or a guy who can come in and rim protect for a couple possessions?
He's kind of the same kind of physical freak, but he can't block shots. Taco Fall block his shot.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I guess I take a shot with him.
All right. Second round, I didn't say early. Yeah. I'm saying 54th or whatever that last second round pick. If he's sliding around, you grab him and you see if you could put him in the G League at first. Mm-hmm. See if you can do with him.
Let me ask you a question. Because of the injury, Ball is slipping, right?
Would you take
Ball Ball?
Absolutely.
Instead of Ty Jerome?
I would.
You would.
And figure out how to develop them. Yep.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. 4 o'clock hour. Jason Stark will join us. Talk Phillies baseball. Bryce Harper after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.